A Home at the End of the World, written by Michael Cunningham and read by Colin Farrell, Dallas Roberts, and Jennifer Van Dyke.
Bobby. Once our father bought a convertible. Don't ask me. I was 5. He bought it and drove it home as casually as he'd bring a gallon of Rocky Road. Picture our mother's surprise. She kept rubber bands on the doorknobs. She washed old plastic bags and hung them on the line to dry, a string of thrifty, tame jellyfish floating in the sun. Imagine her scrubbing the cheese smell out of a plastic bag on its third or fourth go-around when our father pulls up in a Chevy convertible, used, but nevertheless, a moving metal landscape, chrome bumpers and what looks like acres of molded silver car flesh. He saw it parked downtown with a for sale sign and decided to be the kind of man who buys a car on a whim. We can see as he pulls up that the manic joy has started to fade for him. The car is already an embarrassment. He cruises into the driveway with a frozen smile that matches the Chevy's grill. Of course the car has to go. Our mother never sets foot. My older brother Carlton and I get taken for one drive. Carlton is ecstatic. I am skeptical. If our father would buy a car on a street corner, what else might he do? Who does this make him? He takes us to the country. Roadside stands overflow with apples. Pumpkins shed their light on farmhouse lawns. Carlton, wild with excitement, stands up on the front seat and has to be pulled back down. I help. Our father grabs Carlton's beaded cowboy belt on one side and I on the other. I enjoy this. I feel useful helping to pull Carlton down. We pass a big farm. Its outbuildings are anchored on a sea of swaying wheat. Its white clabber is molten in the late hazy light. All 3 of us, even Carlton, keep quiet as we pass. There is something familiar about this place. Cows graze. Autumn trees cast their long shade. I tell myself, we are farmers, and also somehow rich enough to drive a convertible. The world is gaudy with possibilities. When I ride in a car at night, I believe the moon is following me. We're home, I shout as we pass the farm. I don't know what I'm saying. It's the combined effects of wind and speed on my brain, but neither Carlton nor our father questions me. We pass through a living silence. I am certain at that moment that we share the same dream. I look up to see that the moon, white and socketed in a gas-blue sky, is in fact following us. It isn't long before Carlton is standing up again, screaming into the rush of air, and our father and I are pulling him down, back into the sanctuary of that big car.
Jonathan. We gathered at dusk on the darkening green. I was 5. The air smelled of newly cut grass, and the sand traps were luminous. My father carried me on his shoulders. I was both pilot and captive of his enormity. My bare legs thrilled to the sandpaper of his cheeks, and I held onto his ears, great soft shells that buzzed minutely with hair. My mother's red lipstick and fingernails looked black in the dusk. She was pregnant, just beginning to show, and the crowd parted for her. We made our small camp on the second fairway with 2 folding aluminum chairs. Multitudes had turned out for the celebration. Smoke from their portable barbecues sharpened the air. I settled myself on my father's lap and was given a sip of beer. My mother sat fanning herself with the Sunday funnies. Mosquitoes circled above us in the violet ether. That 4th of July, the city of Cleveland had hired 2 famous Mexican brothers to set off fireworks over the municipal golf course. These brothers put on shows all over the world at state and religious affairs. They came from deep in Mexico, where bread was baked in the shape of skulls and virgins, and fireworks were considered to be man's highest form of artistic expression. The show started before the first star announced itself. It began unspectacularly. The brothers were playing their audience, throwing out some easy ones, standard double and triple blossomings, spiral rockets, colored sprays that left drab orchids of colored smoke, ordinary stuff.